I'm back. You just thought you got rid of me, didn't you? After a month of Sundays, I'm glad to be here. Becky would love to be here, but she was not feeling well this morning, and she sends her love to you as well. Lord willing, I think I am scheduled to be here at least one more time. And it'll be good to be with you. We always are glad to be here, and we've missed you over the last month. Thankful that we have this opportunity to be here again. I remember when I was a teenager, and that's getting harder and harder to remember every day. But I do remember that my family and I would gather around the television, would watch our favorite program. Every week, we look forward to watching The Fugitive. From 1963 to 1967, David Janssen played the role of a doctor who was accused by the police of murdering his wife. But he didn't do it. We all knew he didn't do it. We were pulling for him every week to escape. He saw a man with only one arm flee the murder scene, and he knew that that one-armed man was the murderer. And each week he searched for that one-armed man while narrowly escaping being caught by the police as a fugitive from justice. It was such a good show that The Fugitive was made into a movie in 1993, which starred Harrison Ford. And I wondered if, as I was watching that television program over the years, what would have happened if they had caught that one-armed man? What if he really confessed to the murder of the doctor's wife and the fugitive didn't know about it? The police would be pursuing him to tell him the good news, but he would still be trying to evade the police, thinking that they were trying to arrest him. Several years ago, a somewhat similar true story appeared in a newspaper. A young man by the name of William was a fugitive from the police. The teenager ran away with his girlfriend because both sets of parents were trying to make them break up. But there was another reason that William's parents and the police were searching for him. Before he ran away, he was sick. And he went to his doctor to have some tests run. And the doctor reported those results to William's parents. He had cancer that needed immediate treatment. And there was William doing his very best to elude the police because he did not want to lose his young love, while the police were desperately searching for him, trying to help save his life. He believed that the police were after him to punish him, but they were really after him to help him. I want us to look at the book of Jonah, at least the first chapter and the first 10 verses today. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And then the sailors became afraid. And every man cried to his God. And they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship. That's what you get for laying off preaching for a month, I guess. Laying down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God, and perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has the calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said of him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I love the imagery in verse 4. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea. And I also am very intrigued by what Jonah had to say in verse 9. "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Undoubtedly, he didn't fear him enough, did he? We all know the story. The Lord told Jonah to go to this great city, this Gentile city, and to cry out against its horrible wickedness. But Jonah didn't want to do what the Lord told him to do. Now, he didn't argue with God. He didn't take a defiant stance against the Lord and say, "I'm not going." But he quietly and inconspicuously traveled to Joppa and boarded a ship sailing to Tarshish in the very opposite direction from Nineveh. I wonder how many times that we don't argue with God and we are not defiant against him, but we just do the very opposite of what he says to do. He even went down into the hold or the hull of the ship and he fell asleep there. This could indicate, as some commentators have said, that Jonah was in a state of depression. I think that's a possibility. I think many times when we disobey God, we are depressed, we are down. In verses 3 and 10, it is stressed three times that the intent of Jonah was to flee from the presence of the Lord. Undoubtedly, Jonah didn't understand the universal nature of God. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And God is omnipresent, unlimited presence. God is with us today. God is with all of the saints around the world who are worshiping him today. God is present in our lives when we go to work or when we are at home or when we go to school or whatever activities we're involved in. God is there. And that's a very difficult concept to understand. How can God be everywhere at one time, but he is because he is God? He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. Did Jonah really believe that he could run away from God? God, the God of the land, the God of the sea, the God of the air, the God of the earth. God is present everywhere. And God cannot be confined by time or by space. And it was David who wrote these beautiful words. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You know, I can understand how that someone who is not a child of God would look at that particular passage and might be frightened. But I believe that as children of God, we look at this passage and we ought to be thrilled. God is with us. He is present. He is always there. His strength and his power, his knowledge, his might are always present with us. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that an exciting thought to think that the God of heaven is with you everywhere you go? And I think certainly it is a wonderful thought unless you are trying to hide from God. Jonah went through some trials and struggles because he was trying to run away from God. In fact, we know from the story that he almost died. And yet God spared his life. God gave him a second chance. And even then, Jonah did what the Lord had originally commanded him to do, but he did so reluctantly. Aren't you thankful that we are so much more knowledgeable and sophisticated than Jonah was? You know, we're intelligent enough to realize that we can't run away from God. But guess what? There are times that we still try to do it. Because we are sometimes successful in hiding our sins and flaws from one another, Satan deceives us into believing that we slipped one by God. We're really not much different from Jonah, are we? Most of us know what God wants us to do. And again, we may not be openly defiant, we may not argue with God, we may not even try to flee from the presence of God. But how often do we just ignore God's teachings and commands? How often do we choose to do what we want to do instead of fulfilling the will of the Lord? How many troubles have we brought upon ourselves and our lives because we would not do what the Lord told us to do? How many second and third and fourth chances has the Lord given to us? And in return, when people sin against us, how many times have we been willing to forgive them? How often have we reluctantly carried out His will when He gave us those second and third and fourth chances? How many times have we inwardly hoped that carrying out His will would not be successful? Jonah, when he went to Nineveh, he didn't want to be a successful preacher. He didn't want them to repent, and yet they did. That's not the attitude of a preacher, generally. But there was such a hatred, undoubtedly, between him and those who were of Nineveh, the Gentiles, that he did not want them to change. I wonder this morning, are you running away from the Lord? Are you running away from your responsibilities in the church? Or are you running to the Lord, whom I can assure you is awaiting you with open arms? You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. It is my prayer this morning that you are continually running to the Lord and not away from Him. There are so many struggles and pains in life that sometimes we just want to run away from it all. There are times that I've known people who have faced struggles, and the first thing that they do is run away from the church. They run away from those who can be of support the most, those who can love them the most, those who can help them the most. And in running away from the church, they also run away from the Lord. I hope, I pray this morning that you're running to the Lord. And He does have open arms for you today. In Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. In verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Isn't that what you want in your life? for the Lord to lead you in the everlasting way, to help you to face all of the trials and the difficulties that you are having in life, and maintaining your faith in Him. That's our prayer for you this morning. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. Oh.